They got into the promised land, and there they met a group of people called the Gibeonites. Remember them? Now the Gibeonites, they were the part of the enemy. They were not God's people. They were part of the enemy. But they said, you know what? God's given some victory to those people. They got a reputation as winners, as victors. We got to do something to get on their side. So they deceived the nation of Israel and they're getting on making a league with them. You know, when God's given the victory in a person's life, people around it want to be involved with it. People around say, I want to get a hold of that. I want some of that. Are we achieving victory in our life? I might say this, based upon what I read, every victory that we achieve in life is a victory that we have previously achieved in the prayer closet. If you want to see some victory, if you want to see some victory in your life that people want to get a hold of, hey, you know what? Seek after that victory in the prayer closet. Hey, he says right here, and this is a promise of God. He says, my Father which seeth in secret, those prayers that you get down and fervently pray before God, he says, you know what? I'll reward thee openly. People will see the victory that I'm giving you in your life. And people are going to want some of that victory that you have in your life. Are we achieving that victory in our prayer closets? Are we achieving that victory? You know, there's a few things I think in our life that kind of somewhat stand in between that victory. Achieving that victory in our prayer life, there's a few things that hurt that. The first thing is iniquity, and this is nothing new, nothing hard, nothing difficult to understand. But one of the things that hinders us from achieving true victory through our prayers is sin, iniquity. Isaiah 59 makes that very plain to us in verse 1 and 2. He says, oh, the Lord's hand is not slack. His ear is not deaf. I mean, it is not short. Now, he certainly, there's nothing wrong with God's ears. He can hear the prayers from the young children to the oldest saint. He loves to hear the prayers of the sinners asking for salvation. He loves to hear prayers. He wants to hear from us. There's nothing wrong with God's ears. But in verse 2 he says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God that what? That He will not hear. He has to choose. Those are words I can't listen to. Why? Because there's sin. There's iniquity there. Hey, let me tell you something. That's the easiest problem to fix. That is the absolutely easiest problem to fix. 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to what? To forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. To wipe away, to clean away, to take out anything that would stand between you and God and from achieving that victory in prayer. God says, it's gone as soon as you confess it. As soon as you admit it to me, hey, I wipe it away, it's gone. So I think there's a second thing that sometimes hinders our prayers is just intimidation. Oh, when you pray for, when you start getting victory in the prayer closet, man, things happen. Oh, things change. You know, Jesus went into the wilderness and prayed for 40 days, and guess what? He got some victory, but guess what? He also had to endure some temptation of the devil. Paul and Barnabas in the church there at Antioch, they were spending some time in prayer. And guess what? God gave them some victory in their prayers. But what did He do? Uh-oh. He called them out. He sent them out to do something. I think sometimes some of us might be a little bit intimidated to get on our knees and pray to God. Because, well, what might He do? How might He actually answer the prayers that I offer up to Him? And perhaps maybe I don't want to know what His answer will be. But I think the thing that probably hinders our prayers the most, that holds us back from achieving that victory in the prayer closet, is ignorance. Ignorance. We pray with ignorance. We do. What does it say about the Pharisees? If you look down in verse 7, it says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they'll be heard for their much speaking. See, a lot of us, I think most of our prayers are, dear Lord, bless this food, in Jesus' name, amen. Or, dear Lord, you know, such and such, bless this family, and you know, and we use these very generalities. That, you know, when you're asking God to bless someone, what do you mean? What's going on in your head? What's going on there? What do you actually want from God? And I think a lot of times as we pray very ignorantly. I kind of want to help you with that today. And let me ask you this in preface. How do you pray for your missionaries? How? I didn't ask you if you pray for your missionaries. Because I believe in a church like this, in a meeting like this, we full well understand the need to pray for missionaries. And I'm certain that the number of prayer cards that I've seen people pick up and take home, somebody's praying for some missionaries somewhere. But let's just stop for a second and evaluate, hey, how much victory am I getting in my prayers for my missionaries? Perhaps I need to step back and say, well, how am I praying? What kind of knowledge? What kind of wisdom? What kind of understanding am I putting into my prayers for my missionaries, the ones that I care about? Well, let me help you with some things that the Bible talks about, that we should pray for missionaries. The Bible says it, not me. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2 is a familiar verse to us. I won't have you turn there. But it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. What? That He would send forth laborers into His harvest. And sometimes I think that as we think about that verse in missions conferences and as we think about these things in respect to missions, you know, we sometimes overlook that little word, His. His harvest. Now the reality in this world, anywhere you can go, that there are people from Greenland to Antarctica, if there are people there, there are lost people there. Somebody needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Everywhere you can go. You know, but I believe what the Bible says, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's conviction that must precede the conversion. Precede the being born again. It must be accompanied with Holy Spirit conviction. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is in this world and He's working on hearts. And He's working on specific hearts in very specific locations that God knows exactly where they're at. And He says, when we pray for that, hey, pray for that. I want to meet that one. Hey, I can give out a tract to anyone. But that's not what I want. As a soul winner, as a person that believes in the Bible, as a missionary, I want to be able to open up the Word of God and say, hey, look at this. It's not by works of righteousness that we are done, but by His righteousness. Oh, let me tell you about the home in heaven that He's prepared for you. Oh, I want to show you all these dear things and go through, spend some time in Scripture. Communicating to a heart that wants to know that. But how often do we ask for that? How often do you ask for your missionaries for that? How often do you, when you pray for them, say, hey, could you provide some, I like the word somebody started using, divine appointments. Could you provide some divine appointments for this missionary so that he goes out and as he's a witness, he finds souls that are waiting and ready to hear the truth of God. Ready to hear the gospel. You know, that's something we can pray for. You know, go to 2 Thessalonians. There's a few more. We'll work through them quickly. You know, we write prayer letters. We certainly didn't invent them. If you're a student of your Bible, you're a student of the New Testament, you'll find that Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and most of what he wrote was letters. He wrote letters. And if you'll read very carefully at the beginning and the ending of his letters, a lot of times he mentions a lot about what he wants them to pray for. Amen. You know, he's got some very specific things that he asked them to pray for. Let's bring out a couple of those things to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. What? That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Second thing you can pray for your missionaries, specifically and with knowledge and with understanding, is that the Word of God would do a work in my life. Hey, I need it. I'll take all the changing He wants to do. All the toes that He wants to, He can have all my toes, all 10 of them. He can do whatever He wants to do in my life. But you know what? That has to be something that God works continually. As I get into His Word every day, you know, it has to do a work in me before it can do a work in anybody else. But you know, not only in us, but through us. that the word of the Lord may have free course. The second verse there says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. We're going to go places in this world that people want to shoot you. People want to kidnap you. People want to hurt you. People want to tear you down. People want to destroy your reputation because they have not the faith. We need people praying for those that are out reaching those people. That God would protect them, that help His Word that lives in them to have free course, that it wouldn't be shut down by the governments. It wouldn't be shut down by the terrorists. It wouldn't be shut down by those who don't have the faith, but it would have free course. But do we ask for that? Do we ask for that? Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 is next one I want you to see. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Second thing, or third thing, you can pray for your missionaries and pray for those that are going to different places in the world, that God would open their mouths. God would give them the exact words that they need to say. Now, it's easy for me to illustrate having learned a second language. You know, we were talking about it today that there's a couple different words in Thai that sound very much the same. There's one at kap kun kap that sounds, you know, that means thank you. There's another one that says kat kim kat, which is probably sounds to you very, very similar. That means buckle your belt. You know, there's a word in Thai for cross is gan ken. The word for pants is gan keng. Could you imagine what it would be like? God answered your prayer request, led me to a soul that needs to hear about Jesus, done a work in my heart that day, and I'm there with the Scriptures open and witnessing to Him, and I tell Him, I want you to know that Jesus Christ died for you on a pair of pants. Okay, I'm gone. This conversation's over. We're done. Hey, but that's not just for those that have to learn Thai. You know, there are dozens of different ways to present the gospel to a person. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the living water. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You know what? You can witness to a person speaking about heaven. You can witness to a person speaking about hell. But the Holy Spirit knows, God knows, that the person you're trying to witness to, there's going to be one thing that's going to reach down and just crush his heart to pieces. And just break him to a point that he knows exactly what he needs. You know who knows that? He does. You know who can put those things right here? He can. But do we ask for it? Do we ask for it? Last thing I want to show you that we can pray for our missionaries is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 says, wherefore also we pray always for you. Notice that. We'll be back there in a second. That our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, the fourth thing that we need to pray for our missionaries is that God would produce the results. And I'm certain as we pray for our missionaries, kind of like I used to do, you go down and bless the Vickers family in Thailand and bless this family in Russia and bless this family in South Korea. And you go down your list. As you're asking God to bless that family, I think a lot of us in our hearts, what we really mean is we want God to produce results from their ministry. We want Him to fulfill their work of faith with power. And I'm sure that that's what most of us, so don't stop praying that way. Don't stop asking God to bless us. Amen. We need it. But if you notice at the end of verse 11, there's a little symbol called a colon. Now, a colon, in the English language, when you put that there, that means what comes before it and what comes after it cannot be separated. You must have the two together. So if you want the Lord to fulfill His work of faith with power, to give them results in the ministry that they're doing, you got to have verse 12 also. Let's read what it says. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we as preachers, we as those that have a witness, have something, have a message, have a burden, have that fire in our bones that we're trying to share with someone. You know, it's an exciting thing to us. Man, it's a special thing. Boy, it is, as the drug addicts know, it's the high that you chase forever. Right. We're looking for that next person that's going to, oh, wow, see the light come on.
Amen.
That's a drug more addictive than anything that the world can produce. Amen.
Yeah.
Paul said he was addicted to the ministry. What? The ministry of reconciliation.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but we are humans also. God does those things. We start to think, hey, you know what? I'm pretty good at this. You know what? I'm a pretty good missionary. I'm a pretty good preacher, man. I can win some souls, hallelujah. Kind of get up a little bit on a soapbox thing, and you know what? God needs me in Thailand, amen? Bless God, I'm doing something there. No. No, absolutely not. God says that, says, I'll shut it down right there. No more. You want to dry up a ministry, hey, start getting stuck on yourself. You want the blessing of God? You want God to do something? You want to get some victory in your prayer life? Fall on your face. Hey, please keep me humble. Please keep that missionary humble before you to understand that everything he's doing is not about him, but all about you. All about your plan. All about your desire to see every soul come to know Jesus Christ. But do you ask for that? Do you ask for that? You know what? Timothy warns us about that. To that young man. That what? He being lifted up with pride. What? Fall into the condemnation of the devil. Perhaps that's the reason we're losing some missionaries. Perhaps that's the reason that we're not being so successful in seeing the gospel preached around this world. Is because we got too many people stuck on themselves. Hey, you know what? Who can do something about that? You can.
Right.
You can ask God, hey, keep him humble.
Amen.
Keep him bowed. Keep him broken before you.
Yeah.
To understand that, hey, it's all about his glory.
Amen.
It's all about him.
Right. Amen.
The one that every knee is going to bow to. The one that every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
You can help.
Amen.
But you gotta ask for it.
Right.
You gotta ask for it.
Good.
You know what? These are unique prayer requests. You know, I've noticed that, you know, and we, I think it's a faithful and it's an honest and a good thing to do as we pray for people, to pray for their medical needs and their physical and financial needs. But, you know, sometimes I think we might overlook and neglect to take seriously praying for their spiritual needs. You know, and the thing about it is, they have a physical need. Well, we don't know. Well, perhaps it's God's will that they have that. And then we're praying that God would take it away, and we're praying to God, God's saying, no, 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 no. We're not getting victory. As we see it, why? Because we're not praying in accordance with God's will. But hallelujah, let me tell you something. Does God want you to meet sinners that want to hear about you? Absolutely. Does God want to have free course in the missionary's life? Absolutely. Does He want you to have His wisdom for every word that you speak to do something for Him? Absolutely He does. Does He want you to be humble before Him and give Him the glory? Absolutely He does. So you know what? These are things I need every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, January, February, March, April, May, 2019, 2020, 2021.
Amen.
For my next term, my next furlough, and my next term after that, and until God calls me home, amen. I need it every day.
Amen.
I also want you to notice this. It's not just for me.
Right.
It's not just for me. The reality is, every born-again child of God needs these four prayer requests answered.
Yes.
Because He's called upon every one of us to be His witness.
Amen.
Every one of us need these things in our life on a daily basis. Every one of us do. Think about it. What families could be salvaged? What families could be revived in their families? They see these four prayer requests answered. That as a family, they care about the souls of others. That as a family, they're seeing the work of God have free course in the life of their family. That in their family, they're seeing them humble themselves before God. How many marriages could that save? How low could the divorce rate plummet if these things were answered? But ye ask not, but ye have not because ye ask not. How could it revive our churches? The churches that are ready to close their doors, ready to pack it all in and give the building to somebody else. If the four or five people that are left can see these four prayer requests answered, God can turn it around and raise it back up. Restore it to life. But ye have not because ye ask not. Our country's in a mess. Our country is headed down the tubes. But could not our country be revived if we could, Christians in our country could see these four simple prayer requests answered in their life?
Amen.
But let me remind you, you have not because you ask not. Could not God use the missionaries that are on the field at this very moment to be like the apostles and said that they turned the world upside down? Absolutely. Why not? Well, you have not because you ask not.
Amen.
Go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says this: Again, I say unto you, that if two, just two, of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, what? It shall be done. Not it might be done. Not it could be done. No, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. Perhaps in this assembly there's just two that need to get together and pray.
Amen.
Perhaps it's just the husband and wife that need to get together and pray. Perhaps it's just two church members that need to get together and pray. Perhaps it's a church and missionary partnership that I pray for this church and this church prays for me.
Right. Amen.
Hey, you know what? Hey, that's at least two.
Yeah.
That we're agreeing. God says, hey, it will get done. But you have not because you ask not. Oh, we pray. But what do we actually ask for? So let me ask you this morning. How do you pray? How do you pray for missions? How do you pray for the missions program of your church? How do you pray for the missions of the missionaries that you support? How are you praying that God would do a work through this conference this week? Hey, it's not over yet. Perhaps there's time to get right before God. Perhaps it's time to get into the Scripture and do what the Scripture says to see some of these things happen in our lives. It's never too late. Man, what is the potential? But we have not because we ask not. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.